This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Roshan and Noelle. 7:38 a.m. Wednesday, the 4th of November, which means that in half an hour, we're going to be having the Breakfast Grill, where I'll be speaking with Catherine Dunn-Tenpas, Senior Fellow of the Miller Center at the University of Virginia. Because what's happening in the U.S. is being touted as the election of the century. President Donald Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden are going head-to-head in the race to become the next Commander-in-Chief of the U.S. So ultimately, how will voters decide? As the votes are being counted, we're going to be discussing the prospects for both candidates and the likelihood of a contested election with Catherine Tenpas of the University of Virginia. So be sure to stay tuned for that conversation later on after the 8 o'clock news.
So we are running a poll on our Twitter, so head over there. Who do you think will win the 2020 US presidential election? So cast your vote. Right now we have Trump 23%, Biden 53%, don't know 14%, don't care 10%, it's okay, we're not going to judge you. So head over and cast a vote. Tell us why, too. Why do you support Trump or Biden?
Yeah, because every vote matters. You know that, right?
Absolutely. So do continue to let us know what you think on our very own version of the poll. So, but right now we're looking at the election as a whole, because it could be days before we get definitive results from all the states in the U.S. And this is because each state has its own rules for how and when they want to start counting the mail-in ballots. So Dr. Mina Bose, a professor of political science at Hofstra University, explains what that process looks like.
Once you cast your vote, right, what do the states do for processing and counting the ballots? Well, most states, right, 80% permit some vote processing before Election Day. Six states, including the key states of Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, permit processing, which means opening the ballots, right? Taking out the sleeve that keeps the ballot, opening the mailing envelope, opening the sleeve, getting the ballots ready for counting. Permit processing only on Election Day. Counting votes. 17 states, including the key states of Florida and Arizona, permit counting to begin before Election Day. 16 states permit counting to begin before the polls close on Election Day. But 17 states and Washington, D.C. require counting after the polls close. And this means that on election night, it could be a long evening, depending on when the polls close and which states are able to return results.
And all eyes will be on the swing states, particularly the states that voted for Republicans in 2016. Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan were typically Democratic states that voted for Trump 4 years ago. Will they stay red or could they turn blue? And what does this mean for Trump's re-election chances? Here's Dr. Mina Bose weighing in on the states like Florida, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Ohio, and Texas.
These are all states that voted for President Trump, Donald Trump won in 2016, and are key to his reelection. President Trump won with 306 electoral college votes. That means President Trump really cannot lose more than two states without falling below the 270 number. And if a large state like Florida changes, then the path to victory for President Trump is very narrow. If a state like Texas, where the only state that I've listed here, shows the president ahead, but within the margin of error, if Texas actually shifts to Democratic, then I would say the election is pretty much over. There are no states at this point that are really viewed as in contention to shift from Democrat to Republican. The question is whether some of these states that voted Republican will shift to Democrat. And that's why I said there are many routes for the Biden campaign, much narrower route for the president's reelection.
Pollsters famously got the 2016 election results wrong. How reliable are the polls this time round?
First of all, the national polls have shown more stability than we've seen. There was more kind of volatility in the 2016 race. Second, the national polls also, I should say, are paying more attention to variables such as education. In retrospect, it appears that the national polls may have undersampled, right? The distinction between non-college educated voters and college educated, which is defined as 2 years or more of higher education. So they have weighted their samples accordingly now, have adjusted. And I would also say that we are paying more attention as a country to the state-by-state polls, and that you need to look at a combination of those. We need to be attentive to the margin of error. That certainly points out that it's a battleground states in this competitive election. I would just add, Van, an additional point that voter mobilization is so high in 2020, and it was in 2018 for the midterms. So I think that we are seeing that is also a factor to take into account when we look at voter turnout for 2020 and suggests that we can count on the polls more so than what 2016 predicted.
And that was Dr. Mina Bose, Professor of Political Science at Hofstra University, giving us some insight into the reliability of the polls this time around in predicting the outcome of the US presidential elections, because they haven't had a great track record, at least in 2016.
Yeah, and she pointed out some things like how they improved polls and better sampling and things like that. And that immediately brings to mind the breakfast grill that Wong Xiaoning did yesterday with Tim Harford, author of How to Make the World Add Up, 10 Rules for Thinking Differently About Numbers. You can find that on the BFM app or anywhere you get your podcast, just under look for the breakfast grill and look for Tim Harford's grill yesterday.
Yeah, so there are various polls out there. I think they put a 10% chance still for Trump to win and still not a 0% chance. So, well, it's still a very tight race.
Yes, indeed. And we will be watching the election results very closely and bringing you updates as we get them. But right now we're about to head into some messages. And up next, we're speaking with Siti Aisha Tumin, Research Associate at Khazana Research Institute, about the evolution of the Malaysian labour market. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.